This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Spitwad, staying in touch with those we love, it's honestly, it is the most important thing in life. And the Skylight Digital Photo Frame, it's making that even easier because you can either email photos to it or upload them from an app anytime, anywhere. That means, Mother's Day is coming up. Finding those gifts can be a little bit difficult, but say, hey, moms, look what I got you. I got you a digital frame so we can put, essentially unlimited pictures on this thing, and I can update you whenever I get a cute pic of the kids. I just email it.
Now you have a pic of the kids.
Yeah, and it's email, and I have a Skylight frame. They are not joking. It's very easy to just send the pictures to each other. You can set it up effortlessly in under 60 seconds. It's a gorgeous 10-inch touchscreen. You can swipe through the photos, and Skylight has 100% satisfaction guaranteed. So if you don't love it, they will offer you the full refund. But you are going to love it. I love mine. It's so simple. Even our non-tech-savvy parents can set it up. And right now, as a special holiday offer, you can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com, enter the code BALLERS. That's right. To get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame, just go to skylightframe.com and enter the code BALLERS. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com. Use code BALLERS.
We're back with another spit hit on today's episode. We're going to talk about, a pretty wide gamut of nonsense. As much nonsense as possible, including things like getting hit in the ankle with a shopping cart. Ow! Being reborn as a domesticated animal. Awkward. And in the Situation Room, we tread into some dangerous waters as well. Make sure you do not miss a minute. Enjoy the show.
What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
A freedom! This is gonna hurt! Ah!
Yeah! Did you say it's gonna hurt?
Oh, it's gonna hurt! That's right! This
I'm
is
so
a
scared. I'm
this
so
is a show.
Scared.
This is a show about pain and freedom, my friends. Welcome to the Spitballers.
Oh my god!
Comedy
it's
podcast.
Hurt. Yo!
It's not bad. I'll take it. My standards have changed after 115 shows.
They just keep moving down.
Yeah.
Yes.
Welcome
it's
in.
It's an escalator on this show. And it's got one direction.
Apologies to anybody who was careened off the road during that scat into a canal or something. Welcome into the Spitballers Podcast. Andy, Mike, and Jason back with you. Great show today. Jason was doing some foreshadowing with his just tremendous scat. And we have Would You Rather Situation Room.
When people hear why that was a foreshadow and then backtrack to what the scat actually was.
I'm going to officially weigh in here. I liked it. I liked it.
I was perfectly fine with it. I'm not going to go as far as to say I liked it.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
I like that people will enjoy it the further they get into the show. I like that.
Absolutely. This is deep. I have many layers to my scats. And if I can weigh in.
Jason knew he was scatting 13 seconds before we hit record.
My scats are like an onion.
Exactly.
They stink.
They stink.
And they have layers. They stink and they have layers. I'm gonna give it an A+, a 100 out of 100.
An onion is the right comparison. They stink and they have layers. I love it. Spitballerspod.com. Click the Become a Spitwad button. Support the show. And you'll get some perks over there on Patreon. You can find us on Twitter at Spitballerspod, Instagram.com/Spitballerspod. And if you wanted to watch that scat in full high definition, that's YouTube.com/Spitballers. Excited to be with everybody. Let's do some Would You Rather.
Would you rather?
Full transparency, right before the show, Jason realized it was his scat, and we were urging Al Borland along. Al, say hello.
What's up, Spitwads?
Oh, there you go.
There it is.
And we said, hit record, start the show, because we didn't want Jason to be prepared.
Yeah.
And Al reassured us as he was, you know, getting things dialed in. He said, I don't think Jason's going to end up prepared if you give him an extra 30 seconds.
To be fair, those 30 seconds are where
were they crucial?
They were crucial. It's where I found myself.
This is what we told you, Owl. Come
as
on,
a
man
and as a musician. And so you can all thank Owl for the delay in my wonderful scat.
All right. First Would You Rather question comes from Mr. King on Patreon.
Mr. King.
Yeah, he's
King.
Very yes. important.
All right.
Yes, he is the king, but he prefers to go by Mr. King. Would
That's
you rather?
Mr. King to you.
That's right. I don't know if I could take Mr. King seriously. All right. Would
like
you,
Your Highness?
Right. Mr. King. Would you rather?
To be
have,
fair, in defense of Mr. King, he actually, his name is Adam, but we had another Adam wrote in for the Situation Room. So I used Mr. King. I took the liberty.
So his name's Adam
you
King.
You took the liberty.
You change. Wow. Hey, if you got to change a name, right. Mr. King is a pretty good name.
Wait, did you come up with Mr. King all by yourself?
No, his name was Adam King, but we had another
okay.
Adam.
I thought
so.
You just changed an Adam to Mr. King as your alternate. Like, that was the only thing you could think up. Was like, yeah, Mr. King seems right.
I need a name. Yeah.
Any Mr. name King will do. All okay. Right. Would you rather have someone follow you around randomly hitting you in the ankle with a shopping cart?
Oh, no.
Or have somebody who randomly comes and screams in your ear through the day? I will say that shopping cart ankle hit is, that's a painful experience.
Yes,
it's
definitely.
Brutal if you're walking. If you're you know, standing still, someone runs into you with a shopping cart. It's like, whatever. I mean, it's not. I don't want that to happen.
Now, what's worse, Achilles or front shin? If you're
front shin.
No way. Achilles is way worse.
Oh, we've got a discrepancy.
If you're, and this is what I was in the middle of saying, if you are walking and you're in the process of having the heel roll up from the ground, at the same time that front bar comes over your heel, and you get kind of, what do they call it? Like a flat tire? You know, when you do that to someone's
shoe. Give me a break.
Like, flat tire.
I mean, that doesn't feel good.
Off, but.
We're talking about the bone. The metal on bone is worse than metal
I think that Andy has never experienced an attack on his Achilles. Because
I know
maybe
he
not.
Hasn't.
Maybe
it
not.
It is atrocious.
Maybe I keep my Achilles safe. I don't know.
You apparently
maybe I'm not irresponsible with my Achilles.
A wife or children that have far more respect or fear. I don't know what it is, but when they're out grocery shopping with you, they must not walk too close behind you with a grocery shop with a shopping cart. Because when
I'm always pushing the cart, bro.
Yeah, we're learning right now that Jason is not pushing the cart.
Yeah,
I'm 50-50. I'm 50-50. I think both my wife and myself.
95-5.
Prefer
I'm
to push the cart.
Zero. Yeah.
This is just a matter of like, do the wives enjoy? Like, I like pushing the cart.
No, that's
prefer.
Not what it's about. That's not what it's about.
It is in my home.
It's about the fact that if my wife pushes the cart, she leaves it in the middle of the aisle.
Oh, no.
She's in the way of people.
Oh, no.
She's got no cart awareness, honey. I'm sorry, but
oh,
you don't.
No.
You got no cart awareness. It's full obliviousness with that cart. She can pin 4 or 5 people in behind it. No, they won't know.
Full traffic jam?
She won't notice. She'll walk away from it when they're all
I'll
stuck
be right back
behind it.
I'll yes. be right back. There's some samples
over
there.
I'll be three rows down.
I love you, honey. I love you. But seriously, I'm taking that cart from you. So the Achilles squish is pretty bad, huh?
It is brutal. I would say, if you looked up top 10 most painful things that have ever happened to people, I think shopping cart Achilles has to be top
now,
three.
A shin, I mean, a shin injury.
Shin's
that's
bad,
not
yeah.
That's not fun.
No.
It's not fun.
A shin smack is that's trouble.
You know, you forget to wear your shin guard at that old soccer game, you're not going to be happy. But I've been kicked in the shin, and it hurts. It hurts like bumping an elbow. It hurts like any bone that gets knocked on something hard. But when you're actually trying to utilize part of your body that then is both hit and stretched and said, no, man.
I'll tell you one thing I did this week. I tried to get to my bed a little too quickly, apparently. I don't know how this is possible.
This sounds like a classic Andy.
And I smashed my thigh into the corner of the bed frame. And I want to explain something to you. When it happened, there was no physical sign that damage had happened other than the pain inside me.
Did you go down?
Oh, I went down hard. And my wife literally kind of gasped and like the pain. She go, ooh. Like she knew that I was in pain. And over the past week, a bruise the size of a softball has formed from that damage over time. Like that was
from
not
running
good.
Into the bed frame?
From you running guys, into my own bed frame.
You guys, this is a serious problem in the Moore household. When
what
we,
is wrong with you people?
I'm telling you, here's what happened. This
what?
Was about this
what
was about
of bed
2 years ago.
Do you have?
All right, we have a little rabbit hole here. A little story time.
What kind of bed frames? Jagged bed frames, Mike. Jagged. Yeah.
With the ones with the spikes sticking.
Wild wooden bed frames.
We had, you know, we've been married for 15 years. We had the same, you know, bed furniture set that we had always had for 12, 13 years. And then a couple of years ago,
that's
we
a
replaced,
pattern. You had a long pattern.
We had an
of
entire pattern of what it's like to walk around our bed. And 2 years ago, we replaced our bedroom furniture and we got this
with
bed that has a really nice, it has a really nice, you know, headboard and at the base of the bed, at the foot of the bed, there's, you know, a little bit of an ornate.
Is that so a sleigh?
Yeah, kind of. It's not a sleigh bed, but it's kind of like a sleigh bed.
Ornate footboard.
And at the front it sticks out a little bit, like, you know, I would say 4 or 5 inches, not much to the side, but it's a hard edge. It's, you know, it's a 90 degree angle edge of wood.
Why does it do that?
But, well, I mean, if you saw it, it's very normal. I'll post a picture if you want to see this thing.
I'm very intrigued.
But
right
here's
now.
What happened in our house. We get this delivered. I'm not here. I'm at work. I get home that afternoon, that evening, and my wife tells me and shows me this massive bruise she has on her leg. And it wasn't from once, and it wasn't from twice. It was three times that she ran right into it, because she's used to walking around the bed at a certain distance, and that was, you know, you mean you walk the same thing 1,000 times. You 1,001, all of a sudden it's different.
Yeah, muscle memory,
so she,
I gotcha.
She massacred her leg. I mean, this bruise was brutal. And I proceeded as any
her?
Good, I ripped, I mean, I just... I tormented her for the stupidity of three times running into that thing. It was unfathomable that you could constantly do that. We
it is.
Fast forward a couple hours. We're getting ready for bed. And I have never ran my leg into a bedpost as hard in my life. And over the next 2 weeks, guys, I'm telling you, it was 30, 40 times that the both of us, we could not walk around this thing. We tore our quads apart. And here's the craziest part. It was never an inch different. It wasn't a centimeter
it's
different.
The same spot.
You're bruising the same spot over and over and over. Felt like it was bleeding at one point. It was
leg,
crazy
his
how
leg
it
just falls off. You just cut it down
it
like a tree.
It took at least a week before we fought, because we would obviously we change. Obviously we would go, okay, I'm not, my leg's a little sore, I want to walk around. And so we'd walk around, but you can walk around 4 or 5 or 6 times, but that seventh time, if you forget, if it's late at night, you're getting up to go to the restroom, got your path that you always take, and your leg falls off. It was
They don't make
awful.
Those bumpers for adults, those corner bumpers they make for the kids for furniture.
I needed to install those.
We need those.
We had major, and nothing in our 15 years of marriage. made my wife happier than after getting mocked, after getting mocked for running into it. When I did it, she threw a party. She was so happy.
God.
And it hurt like the dickens.
Oh, that's spectacular. It hurts, man.
I still have fear when I walk near my bed. I'm afraid.
The PTSD.
It's like bed 87.
He puts rollerblade pads on before he goes to bed. Okay, I don't remember the question anymore. Mr. King had such an important one. A shopping cart or somebody that randomly comes and screams in your ear through the day. I don't want to be afraid that much. I don't want to be scared. The guy screaming in my ear, I'll probably punch them. That's assault charges. I'm going to go with the shopping cart, I guess.
You have to take the shopping cart.
I have build been up hit a callus with a shopping or something. Cart, so I will take the screaming.
If it keeps being like the front, because it like, oh wait, no, it's someone follow you.
Yeah,
so it's definitely
Achilles.
It's definitely an Achilles. Oh man, you're gonna tear an Achilles one day.
You're darn right, you will. Over and over.
I guess you have to take the scream because of long term ankle injuries.
Okay.
Whatever.
Rosalind from the website. Would you rather be reborn as a domesticated pet?
Oh.
Or as an animal in the wild? And this has some layers to it. Because
it definitely does. Like an onion.
Much like a stinky old onion. Or a scat from Jason. My instinct was like wild animal instantly. Gotta be a wild animal. Make me a wild animal.
Right, you want to be free.
Be free in the ocean. I can go wherever I want. Be a deer running through the woods, babbling mm-hmm. brooks. That'd be fun. Mm-hmm. But then you're really part of the circle of life.
You're
at
part
that
of
point.
The food chain. And so not I guess at the top.
Probably not. And so, you know, as a domesticated pet, I could be living that. Look, I don't like cats, right? If you listen to the last an episode a while ago, what did we do? Yeah. Cat Salesman.
Who knows when it was?
I was allergic to the episode itself. And right.
You're a smart man. Yes, go right. on.
Yes, but I wouldn't mind being one because that life seems just fine.
Oh, you don't have to care about anybody and you get cared for? Look, here's
the
reality.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You know, you actually care. You like have anti-care. Like you don't care about anybody, but they want your love so much.
Oh, they'll buy me things. Like, those cat towers look fun.
Meh. Please give me the food and the catnip.
There are certain people that I know that love the outdoors. They love hiking and climbing rock walls and mm-hmm. crazy things. And being an animal with those abilities outdoors could be appealing. To me, the outdoors, and we live in Arizona, is a nightmare at all times. I am hot. I am sweaty. What I don't want to do is put on a fur coat and then be outside. I know that my dogs don't like being outside.
What if you're in Alaska?
Well, then I'm freezing. What? That was the example you went with? Well, what if it was terrible in a different way? You couldn't go with, like, San Diego? Here's the reality. I live a good life right now. I'm happy.
He's a seabird in San Diego.
If I was an animal,
like a chipmunk.
I mean, here's what my dogs do. They get fed, they play, they swim, they get rubs and
lots of poop.
Far more than they poop wherever they want.
Please.
I mean, you know, you get trained. It's like, oh, I should poop outside. Okay. But I mean,
you have a pretty
liberal poop choices. Yeah.
I think they have a great life. Literally, the only advantage a wild animal has is that they can run a further distance, probably from a predator.
No. If you could make me a bald eagle, I would go with that one. Because what's killing a bald eagle?
Well, yeah, a domesticated bald eagle is not fun.
Domesticated?
I'm saying the flip side of being if I'm a bald eagle, I'm going to choose outside. No, there's no domesticated bald eagles. That's my point. Do we get to pick the animal? Do we get to pick whether we're any animal?
No, that's, I think that's what.
It's a random draw.
What part of what makes it great is because, like, you could be, you know, a deer in the Pacific Northwest, and then that seems pretty solid. I'm sure there's natural predators up there, but like overall,
humans,
like that human seems beings, like
pretty great. Or you could be like a gazelle in the savannah where you're like going down to the water hole means that a gator might pull me down. And so there's pros and cons of like the domestic animal. Like, so Jason, we have had to experience domesticated animal life very recently of being trapped in one place The only time you ever get to go out is because you get to go to the vet, and that's it. Otherwise, you're trapped in the home. Like, that's another layer of it. Are you good with that?
If I grew up with this, if this was the only normal that
better?
I knew, I'd be fine with this. This life is fine. I miss what used to be. And so, yeah, no, I'm taking
the man in the box doesn't know he's in the box.
My dog loves his life. Both, I say my dog. I have two dogs. Apparently, I love one.
Oh, whoa, whoa, no.
It was Rocky. Rocky was the one I was talking about. Sugar's too
stupid.
Don't
let him hear this.
Sugar can't listen to podcasts. She's dumb as a rock. I love her, but she's so dumb. Rocky is smart. He gets pampered. He gets presents. He gets rubs. He gets love. He gets fed as much as he wants.
Well, and the other dog doesn't?
No, they both do, but I just don't think about Sugar. She's too stupid. I'm a lover. She's a sweet dumb dog. I mean,
dumb a dog.
Dumb a dog. She's,
oh no.
You know, she takes after her father, which is me.
Okay. If it's a random draw in the wild, the likelihood that I'm eaten within 6 months is high. And I don't want to be eaten. So I'll go domesticated. Someone loves me on purpose as a domesticated pet. They bought me. They might, you know, take care of me for a long time. They buy me treats.
Like, you get air conditioning.
Yeah.
So, the random draw, though, if you're a domesticated pet, the random draw is of you being a dog or a cat. Like, the probability goes way up.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, if you're a wild animal, like, the possibilities are endless, man.
You could be
an anglerfish down in the ocean where people don't even see things.
I wish Al could assign us a wild animal at random, not choose one for us, but like
do
let us know what
generator.
We would be. A random
is there
animal.
A random animal
can
generator?
You,
anywhere?
Can you take care of that for us, Al? I'm sure you have one of those laying around.
Sure.
Because here is the downside. Okay, you choose domestic.
Andy's a crab.
You choose the domesticated animal life, and you're a bird.
All right, I got a generator here.
Okay, so this is for our wild animal.
All right, give it to me.
All right.
All right, Mike first.
I'm wild. I'm in.
Yeah. You, Mike, are a basilisk.
Oh, that's pretty good.
What is that?
It looks like a lizard of sorts.
What I've learned, a basilisk is like devastating when it comes to like role-playing games. They turn things to stone, right?
In Harry Potter, very venomous.
Yes.
But in real life, you'll be stepped on as a lizard.
Yeah, not by right, stone
but
people.
But stories will be written about him.
What am I?
Because basilisks are so fierce.
Andy, you are a kangaroo.
That's a good draw.
I'm pretty happy.
That's a good draw.
Yeah.
You can jump.
Hopping around.
You can
finally
dunk.
Things.
Yeah,
I can dunk.
Yeah, you can dunk. You can dunk on like a 20-foot hoop.
I like it.
All right. Jason, you are an elephant.
Hold on. I demand a recount.
Yes. You want to know who's my predator? Nobody. I'm just out there living my life. And I eat what I want, obviously. And this is a little bit of typecasting, but I'm down with it.
Oh, no. Look, the people, we've seen the Jungle Book. You have to bow to the elephants for some reason.
Oh, I mean,
what a bad
I would pre cut your tusks off and just leave them on the ground, though. Just to stay safe. Just leave them. Hey, that's a real problem. I'm not.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, Al, do you have, are you an owl or did you do a random draw yourself?
Of course he's an owl. I'll do one more here.
Okay. I just want to know what you would be.
I got a kitten.
All right.
Which happens to be a domesticated animal. So.
Yeah, but you're on the streets. All right. Here we go. Scolger on Patreon has a would you rather question for us.
Let's go Vikings.
Would you rather never be able to watch professional sports ever again or never be able to watch your kids play sports ever again?
Oh, what is this question? Who let this through the process?
This is an easy question for me. I love my kids. I do. But my kids have a very short window of their.
That's how you start their, every question.
Yes,
when you're
coming
kids.
With bad news.
I remember. I love both my dogs.
I will watch professional sports. I've been watching professional sports, you know, very regularly
for
at least 20 years, and I hope to do it for another 50 years. Versus the, you know, what is it? A 10-year window that your kids are playing?
Sure. Yeah.
You know, go get them, champ. And
not, not every kid plays sports. I don't think I play. I played tennis for like a year, but that was the extent of my.
It also doesn't say that your kids doesn't say that your kids can't play sports. You just can't watch them.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Just, they're going to play.
You're just the bad dad that doesn't show up at the game because you're 100%. At the NFL game. You're at the actual.
Right. Now, here's the loophole. You ready for my loophole?
I don't think I'm ready for your loophole.
I'm going to devastate my youngest Isaac because he loves sports and daddy ain't never showing up to his game. And here's what I'll tell him. I can show up to your game when you make it to professional sports. So you need to be better if you want daddy to show up. And then that's motivation he needs to get all the way to the paid ranks. Oh, daddy's getting a new house.
That's dad pretty strategic. Wound that you've just inflicted upon the child.
Yeah, how many professional sports stars had dad wounds? I am the reason he makes it to be a pro because I never showed up to his games. You're welcome, Isaac.
I'm pretty impressed, man. I will say that we're recording this episode in the midst of the pandemic, and the number one thing, like my wife's sad that the kids had short school seasons and stuff like that. I miss the heck out of watching my 8-year-old play sports. That's what honestly has broken my heart through this whole thing is his season had just started.
Mm-hmm.
But I like professional sports a lot too.
And this is an easier question to us because we have an out. We have an excuse,
right? It's our job.
Our professional job as the Fantasy Footballers podcast. We watch, the NFL for a living. Do you want a house? Do you want food? Well, then I can't come to your game. That being said, I want a PSA here. We're all three very loving fathers and don't miss any of our children's games
in
real life.
Right, we don't.
We help. We help them. We coach them.
I miss both regular and children's sports.
Now, I don't think Mike answered. I'm going to make Mike answer.
Smart.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to break it down. And like to me, because my daughter's not really into sports, but she does. She loves dance. And I'm assuming that like I'm missing dance things now. My son loves sport or my middle son loves sports. My youngest, we aren't sure yet. We aren't sure which route he's going to take. Oh, but I'm taking my kids' sports. Sorry, guys. Aww. I'm fully analytics, baby. Let's go.
Just reading box scores.
The eye test is the lie test. I'm not watching anymore.
Every day we come into the office. Hey, what happened? What happened? What happened in the game?
I need a play-by-play breakdown.
All right, let's jump into the Situation Room.
Spitwads, when we started doing this podcast, we were doing absolutely everything. I was in a clawfist. Mike's feet were in front of Andy's face on their shared desk. But eventually we have hired, we have expanded, we have grown. And it's the most important thing you're going to do for your business is who you hire. And if you're hiring, you need Indeed, because Indeed is the hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. They're the only job site where you're guaranteed to find quality applications to meet your must-have requirements, or else you don't pay. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites hoping to find candidates with the right skills, you just need Indeed. They're going to partner with you every step of the way, and with Instant Match, as soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of quality candidates. I love Indeed. Start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/ballers. Offers valid through April 30th. Go to Indeed.com/ballers to claim your $75 credit before April 30th. Indeed.com/ballers. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Situation Realm.
All right. This first situation comes from a supporter on Patreon whose name is Jason Used Me as a Puppet. So there you go.
It's one of my puppets.
Yeah,
That's
their name. Their name, Mike. That's their name. In a real life version of Wife Swap, the three of you must swap families and households for a month. How will that go? Who will survive the longest?
Who will survive?
Who will be able to adapt? Who will get thrown out?
Oh man, that is a brutal
sure is
question.
A situation. This question is a situation.
Is real.
Let me speak in generalities. I think we fit in our families just about right. In
we
our own families.
In our families, so perfectly. We really do. Like,
I think if you move one to the right, we're all messing up these families.
If you move one to the wrong, we're all messing up these. One to the left, we're all messing up these families. And, or abandoning. I mean, we really have, like, you know our personalities on this show. You know, we kind of fit together nicely as like a three-piece yin and yang.
What's the third part of that, Jay? Yang,
I guess, but I don't just know.
We need a new vowel.
I'm just saying,
like, I can visualize, you know, a three-piece yin, yang, and yang, I guess.
Like a peace symbol. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, there you go. It's already done.
Much better.
One of these things exists. It's called a peace symbol. Yes. Okay. So we fit together like that, but our families are really reflections, you know, of us as
a
whole.
Of the yin and the yang and the yang.
I am not organized. My wife is not organized. We are much more, you know, we're a little bit more insane. Is what I would say. And so, like, the Holloways are super organized, super efficient, and everything's, you know, it's a tight, tidy ship. I think if we swapped, I don't know if the family bursts first or if we do, but I think we would.
It's like who adapts, who gets thrown out. I'm like, who survives?
Who survives? Nobody. It's going to be a catastrophe.
I have no answer for this situation.
This is the hardest situation room that's ever been asked.
Because while Jason is right, while we are the three of our personalities can form this triangle, which is just a very strong structure. If you swapped us,
it would be trouble.
I will say this:
Jason would survive the longest because you are the most kind of. Go with the flowy.
I can go with the flow. I think I would survive the longest.
Postmates is everywhere.
Yeah, right. Yes. Thank you.
Doesn't matter what family you're in, you can get Postmates no matter what family you're in.
I think whoever comes to my house would look. At least you'd be extremely well fed, and you know, I think you'd enjoy yourselves. I do.
You look, Jason, you'd be up for a rude awakening because my children do not eat McDonald's. They don't.
That's fine. I eat everything, my man. I mean, like, if you get rid of like my top five foods, I've still got like 50 top-ish foods to go to. So that's, I'm okay there. So long as it's not like, if there was a problem where it's like, I can't have gluten, I'm out. You know what I mean? Like, day one, I'm done.
All right.
Wow. Anything to add, Mike?
No, it's impossible.
Yeah, it would be.
I know both your wives. I very much respect both your wives, but no, it wouldn't. The switch of the three of us would be.
It's like changing
a catastrophe.
I don't know if you guys have ever heard this metaphor, but it's kind of like changing like the footboard of a bed.
Right,
you know,
yes.
After 15 years. You're going to smack into that new footboard.
You got the muscle memory, yeah.
You're going to mess it all up.
You will be destroyed.
You'll be... All right, we're moving on. Alex from the website. Here's his situation for us. Your TV just died on you. A friend steps in with an extra TV that they graciously gift to you. Hmm. You use that TV for a while until you are ready to upgrade.
Okay.
Can you now sell the gifted TV to offset the cost of your new TV? Great question. Real situation. Been there.
You've been there?
I've been there and I've had the person sell the thing I gave them before too.
You've had it both ways.
The parents gave you a TV because that's a different deal. The parents give you something. It's because they are saying, we want this out of our house. And through the kindness of our heart, we're just going to give it to you.
True.
So you have given someone an item and they sold said item?
I'm fairly confident Josh has done that a few times. I mean,
yeah. I mean, we all knew who it was.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's happened before. Look,
oh, no.
I think the real answer, my real answer for this, and you guys can weigh in, is that because I wanted to say, like, okay, if you have it for 6 months, then it's fair game. But I think it's okay. More of a, it's you got to have a little sense to it. It's a little bit of, have I used this in a real way for some period of time? If you give me something, here's the TV, and I don't use it, and I just sell it in 6 months, that's not good. That's not okay. That's not above board. I should be giving you that money. I can sell it. I should give you that money. But if I use it for some period of time, it's fair game to sell. It's mine.
I'll say where it is tough. I made the joke about the parents doing it, but I'm imagining me doing it. Okay, I give somebody my television. I'm doing that with a purpose. I'm doing that because now I go to the wife and say, look, these people, they were up against it. They needed a TV. We have the ability to get a new TV, and now we got to do it. So almost the person who I have given the television to, they have basically done me a favor by opening things up that I get to upgrade my television.
Yeah, I get that, but you know, I've been on the other side. Like I was thinking about, so I know my answer. My answer I feel like is pretty clear, but I also know the feeling. You know, we've given quite a few vehicles to my wife's family over time when we're going to replace one, because she's got 9 siblings, and as they all have grown up, it's like,
you could give a car away a month and you'd still
need more.
Yeah, we need more months and more cars. But like, that's a big item where it's like kind gesture. And I will say, had they just turned around and sold it, it would have felt
real.
I would have been like,
you turn around and sell it.
Yeah, like you got it. It's like you sold it. And it's like, wait, what? We just,
so that lends credence to what Andy's argument is. If like you use it for 6 months,
a timeline. Yeah.
I'm going to use a real life situation, and okay. I'm going to put Mike on the spot because it actually happened to him.
Oh, boom, bam! All
right.
A long time ago, when Mike was buying a new vehicle, he sold his old vehicle.
I did,
and he sold it to my brother.
I did,
and he sold it at a discount. I believe.
No. Is this where I? Oh, no.
Oh, he's going to learn.
Oh,
he's
no. Gonna this learn is not here. Good. This is not good.
Did you sell it at a discount? And does that matter?
I sold it to him for, because
you gave him a deal. It wasn't a giveaway, but you gave him a deal.
I gave him a very good deal.
How many months later would it have been appropriate for him to sell that vehicle, Mike?
For a profit. Tell me he made a profit.
I'm sure he made a profit. Oh, I mean, and listen, my brother didn't turn around and sell it. He didn't acquire it to sell it. He drove it for some period of time. But I'm actually asking how many months? Because okay. He might have driven it for, honestly, I think he probably had it for about a year. Is that enough?
Okay, yeah. A year is enough time. Because this is, okay.
I'm breaking news right here.
I did not know about this. Okay, yeah. So I'm breaking this down. Your brother is a car guy.
Yeah, he's probably bought and sold 50 cars in the last five years.
This car definitely needed some fixing that, like, I can't do. I would have had to go to pay to do it. Your brother knows. He has the skills to do that. So, like, to me, as he fixed it, I'm sure. Like,
yeah,
like
he did.
There was,
he
I mean,
did.
Like, cosmetic damage, engine damage. So that actually doesn't bother me, because he has used skills that he has developed over, like, the course of a lifetime. And so then I'm okay with it.
No hard and fast rule. No hard and fast rule.
Even he had it for a year. He fixed it.
Yeah,
like that's
he made $40,000 on that car.
I would feel really, really bad if he.
You might feel bad, but in this example,
he turned around and sold it for $90,000, Mike.
In this example, though. You sold it. You didn't gift it.
True.
You know what I mean?
But he did kind of do a family discount.
If he turns around and sells it the next day.
Because he was Andy's brother.
Yep.
All right. So my view of this.
This is a great question, by the way.
I said I had a, you know, where I genuinely believe this is true.
Also, I'm going to need your brother's address. So I
he has some make good to dish out here.
He gets an invoice from Mike.
If I gift something to someone else, they can turn around and do whatever they want with it.
That should be the way your mindset is when you give somebody something.
You know, and if I had given a vehicle, I'm not saying it doesn't feel bad.
But it's still going to feel really bad.
If I had gifted one of those vehicles and they turned around and sold it, I would have been upset, but I would have recognized that's their right to do.
Otherwise, you might not have given them something in the future. That would be the problem, you give them something else later on. That could affect that.
But if I'm the receiver, if I were to get that gift, because that's the way the question is asked, right? My TV goes out. I get this TV. I use it a little while later. I have the ability to upgrade my TV. What do I do with that TV? I'm just being completely honest here, I probably wouldn't even think about asking the original if they want it back. That's my TV. I'd probably just sell it and get a new one. And now with this question being asked, maybe I would be wiser.
I hope we've changed some lives here.
Yeah, I think we have. You got to think these situations through.
Look, we've changed my life with this question. I know someone who owes me $30,000.
Right. I mean, the real question is, when you received the gift, did you or did you not say no takesies, backsies? That's the real issue. Yes. Because
that's
if you
the
said
legal
no,
precedent.
The contract clause, yes.
If I said no takesies, backsies.
And that holds up in 48 the states.
That's right.
Your
the
Honor,
continental U.S. is good.
I submit my evidence.
No takesies, backsies. I find in favor of the plaintiff. All right. Adam from Patreon. This is the Adam that forced the other Adam to be named Mr.
King. Oh, man. This guy's no king.
Thank you for
your support on Patreon.
Yes,
Adam Clown.
Yes, the jester. A man approaches you three and offers $1 million.
Oh, okay.
And a Tesla Roadster.
Ooh,
don't end it there. To the person who can keep their hands on the car the longest, you must stay standing. You must not speak a word. Who wins and how long do they last? This was
Oh, my goodness.
The YouTuber Mr. Beast does a lot of stuff like this, mm-hmm. where it's put your hand on the box of money or whatever. Last man standing wins. I have always wondered this because there are like survivor challenges, too, where they're how long can you last on the top of a pole or, you know, in the elements.
I know two thirds of this answer confidently, which is it's going to be a two-man race. It will be 100% between Andy and Mike because it says you must stay standing. I'm out. Like, there's no chance.
$1 million when we get to hour eight,
I know there's no way that I am going to be willing to just stay standing as long as you two. Let's say we all want something the same. It's exactly what, I don't know if you are into a Roadster or if you like $1 million. You know, maybe right. you don't. But if we all want the thing the same and we're all going after it the same, if standing is part of it, I will lose compared to you two. And now, if it was just a matter of will and not physical body, I will win. But not if standing is involved.
I feel I have a very competitive will.
Look, this is not just standing. You got to start thinking long term. You got to start thinking about hunger. You got to start thinking about pooing and peeing.
Oh, like, go right in my pants.
I think
that you would be the leader in that clubhouse. Yeah.
Now let me ask you this. Maybe that's my out. Let's say I poop my pants right there.
Maybe we leave. Maybe we leave because of it.
Joke's on you. I can't smell anything anyways.
That's true. You
have joke's on you, man who pooped in his own pants.
Yeah, oh, man. I can't.
I think it would be very competitive if you were in this situation. Would. And we're all, I mean, we talk about Tesla all the time. Mike's had his eyeballs on that Roadster. Somebody offered him a chance to win a Roadster, not pay for it, and then $1 million on the side, which you probably need for the taxes on the Roadster. That would be, I wonder how long. Let me put Al on the spot since he put us on the spot with the switching wife swap family question.
Oh, goody.
Al, who wins? And you don't get to say, you have to pick somebody. Who actually wins that battle of will? You know all three of us. You've known us for a while. Who do you think wins?
Man, it is that two-man race, and I think I got to go with Mike, man. He's stubborn as a mule.
I think I would go Mike as well, because I think once it got down to the – when both of you are wanting out, but both of you are wanting it, and I know how much Mike has wanted a Roadster, and Andy knows how much Mike has wanted a Roadster. At some point when you're near the very end, I think Andy could, in his mind – justify the grace of the incredible gift that he is now
and
giving,
I would accept it,
to allow him to take his hand off and say, I'm not doing this because I'm tired.
This isn't for me.
This is for you, Mike. Remember this.
And the other part of this is, not only do you have to stay standing, but you can't speak a word. And I feel like that's living Mike's best life right there. Like, Mike would love
to
never
barter.
Speak.
Oh, I was going to say a word to say, Mike, I'll let you win the Roadster. Yes. Split the million with me, and I'm good. I'm out.
I have seen the, you know,
how
long can you stay in the, you know, the hot tub full of ramen? You know, I've seen like one of the Mr. Beast videos of that. If that was the contest,
what?
Ain't nobody ever beaten me. I mean, if we're in an air conditioned controlled environment where we're sitting, sorry, fellas,
and
I
how
can
long
stay
until,
here forever.
How long until that tub is just you in a tub? There's no ramen.
I mean, ramen is delicious.
Chlorine ramen.
Chlorine ramen.
And after 48 hours, it ain't just chlorine in that ramen.
Very, very fair point.
How long do you think could last? Like, what? How many
in
hours?
A hot tub?
No. In the car situation.
The
I think we could last.
Car situation.
I think we could go the full 24. I could go 24 hours.
You wouldn't be able to go 24 because you'd start falling asleep.
I could go 24.
You could stay awake 24 hours. My issue is
I wouldn't want to. I would probably be like trying to hand signal you to like make a deal with me.
I think at like hour like,
you 500, me 500, you Roadster.
I think at
me
hour
we quit. After a second Jason's gone, I'm bartering 50-50 with you.
Oh, now here's an interesting thing. Here's the way this should be done. Now okay. Because I was just thinking, okay, you know, you have to have your hand on the steering wheel of the Roadster, but you got to be standing outside or whatever. Well, obviously, all three of us can't do that. It's probably too difficult to reach
just
the Roadster.
On the car.
Okay, but now let's say we did it one at a time, and we have no idea how long the others last. That's the way these videos should be being done, because now I'm going against myself and my own mind of what they can do. Did
the
they give
about
up already?
That would be the person that ends up staying there for an extra 10 hours longer than they needed to.
Yeah, I mean,
because everybody quit and you didn't know they quit.
I wonder if that would make people stay longer.
That's a blind
or shorter
challenge. Yeah.
That'd be
we're
amazing.
Gonna have to let's do one of these videos. I would be in to do it. Let's
Al,
get a mill.
Not big enough for
one. Al, only totally unrelated, but what kind of car do you have?
We're Honda gonna need Element.
Oh, how long would you stand for a Honda Element? Thank you, Owl, for volunteering.
It's golden YouTube content. How long do you stand for?
No, the Spitwads.
Nobody shows up to the competition.
I think the Spitwads can pool together and, you know, say and have $1 million prize pool. Come on,
that's
true. Spitwads, let's do this. We'll be in a bowl full of ramen.
All right, let's draft. All right, Spitwads, your bedroom, it deserves a refresh. Now is the perfect time to elevate the most important room in your home with Thuma. Thuma, this is a bed company that it focuses on less is more design, clean lines, subtle curves. You got to check them out because you're going to love it. Lifestyle-enhancing details built into every single bed. It proves that simplicity is the truest form of sophistication, which, in fact, I think this show proves as well. So let me tell you about the bed by Thuma. It's handcrafted from eco-friendly, high-quality, upcycled wood. You'll find beautiful, unique variations in the natural grain. It's a minimalist design featuring Japanese joinery. It helps elevate any space, Al. Any space can be elevated. And they don't mean like lift it up. That just means it looks better, okay? In case you weren't sure. Create that feeling of checking into your favorite boutique hotel suite, but at home, with the bed by Thuma. And now go to thuma.co/ballers and use the code ballers to receive a $25 credit towards your purchase of the bed, plus free shipping in the continental U.S.
That's thuma.co/ballers. And enter ballers at checkout for a $25 credit. thuma.co/ballers and enter the code ballers.
The Spitballers Draft.
All right, we are drafting the most memorable death scenes from TV and movies. I knew that this was our draft before we began, just barely before. I did not know it said TV until just now, does change one of my answers.
Interesting. Okay.
So I'm actually very excited to have the second pick because I know what Jason's number one pick is because he knows it would be my pick at number two. So Jason kicks it off, the most memorable death scenes from TV and movies. Now, memorable can mean a few things.
Yes, it certainly can. And ladies and gentlemen, at which I will speak directly to my children right here, spoilers. I would turn this off if like you're worried at all about spoilers, because I know that there's one in particular for my kids that they don't know about, and that's all I will say. So my children, turn the podcast off.
Also, some of these movies you don't get to watch for a while.
Yeah, those don't matter, but movies that they're going to watch.
Sure. Okay, so Jason, you are numero uno.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, look, I like a draft where I get the first spot and there's a clear 101. And that being said, because it's TV and movie, I think there's maybe a clear 102 here as well. So, Andy, I'm sure you're happy. But my scat talked about freedom, talked about the pain that was coming.
I forgot about the scat. It's going to hurt.
Freedom! William Wallace has...
Yeah. All right.
I mean, the whole movie leads up to the iconic, inspirational martyrdom of William Wallace. That's my favorite movie of all time, Braveheart. So I will take that as the 101 death in movies and TVs.
Okay, so you've got William Wallace in Braveheart, which is a very memorable, moving death scene from your favorite movie. All right, now the TV thing brought one into the equation, and I'm afraid that if I let it go, Mike's going to take it.
I think I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, now you're saying that, and it makes me want to let it
or
slip
Or is he
through.
Saying it to...
Okay. Most memorable death scene in movies or TV.
My goodness.
At the 102, he is really struggling.
It's because of the TV brought in the one into my mind, but I'm going to let it go through, I think. All right. I'm going to lead it off with this because memorable, iconic, probably could save it to the end, but I'm going to actually give it its due in the first round, which is Al Pacino in Scarface.
At the end of that
movie is one of the most ridiculous death scenes ever. If you remember, Al Pacino is standing on a balcony being pumped full of lead after coming out. So I'm going to go with that movie scene.
I've never seen Scarface. Have you both seen Scarface?
Yeah. Yes, I have seen Scarface.
Well, been a while now, but that scene is memorable. And Al Borland wants the world to know he's seen it.
Al Borland has seen Scarface?
Whoa,
and he's
Borland's
only seen four
nothing.
Movies. He's seen four movies, and that's one
I'm
of them.
I'm shocked right now.
And the other three were Land Before Times. So he's seen three Land Before Times, and he's seen Scarface, and that's it.
Take it easy with the draft, man.
All right. He's giving you ideas.
Look, it's not on my list, but I know what you're doing. We all remember it.
Yes, we do. All right. Yeah. Sadly.
Okay. So now I have my own dilemma because there are two, which I think Andy was referring to.
Oh, no.
Now the question is, do I just take them both? Because honestly,
I'm so dumb.
I don't think I've ever been shocked more
I'm so dumb.
Than both of these. Look, it's happening. It's happening.
Oh,
okay.
No.
It's happening. So I'm going to open it up with my first pick. Spoiler alert. If you haven't watched
this
Game of Thrones.
This is a spoiler. Yeah. Oh, so I let it go, and you're taking it.
Because of course it was on my list, you dummy.
I'm so stupid.
All right. Because I'm taking them both.
No!
Right. First, we'll go in chronological order. Like I said, Game of Thrones, if you're worried about spoilers and you want to watch it, turn the podcast off. Number one, Ned Stark. Ned Stark
getting killed at the end of
the first season was one of the most shocking things I had ever seen. I knew nothing about Game of Thrones except I jumped in right before season two. I knew nothing about it except for there's like it's medieval. There's some magic and so I bought the first season. Who's on the cover? Ned Stark.
Eddard Stark, yeah.
He's the leader.
We get to the end of the first season. The scene is happening, and I'm like, oh man, what? Who's gonna rescue Mr. Stark here? And nobody does. And you go, what television show am I watching?
It was
right
the
now?
First show that I think like
it's a sit up in your
and,
seat.
And if that's, it was the first TV show where
I'm dumb because you picked it immediately, and that's the one I thought would make it.
I said there was a 102, that was the 102.
Yeah. Okay. So, and maybe this is not the 103 for you guys, but I got to follow my heart here of shocking.
Yeah, I know.
The Red Wedding. That's where I will go with it. Oh, Jason has a different one, but for me,
I'm selecting Jon Snow's death in Game of Thrones.
Oh my goodness!
What?
Oh my goodness! What is happening?
That's not Neil. We're just drafting Game of Thrones scenes.
We're about to. Because am I on the clock? this draft is gonna suck
if it's just all Game of Thrones.
Oh, yes, you know it was TV. Now I feel like I'm chasing Game of Thrones.
Oh my goodness.
Well, anyway, so just to elaborate a little bit more, the Red Wedding. I have never been more shocked by a scene in television than I was by Ned Stark. Except then it was when it was followed up later in the series by the Red Wedding. I did not see it coming. I did not see everything that was going to be involved in that scene. And I literally gasped when it all started to take place. Jon Snow's was like, whatever.
Yeah, so who's enjoy on the clock
that pick.
Now?
Are you we don't I'm not gonna make you stick to that pick, Andy. You can change if you want.
Okay, I will change then.
Yeah.
I will go with the Armageddon scene, Harry from Armageddon,
okay,
Bruce Willis.
Yes. All right, there we go. Now we're
talking,
back on track.
When he is talking to his daughter.
It's not the Game of Thrones podcast anymore.
No, it's not. All my picks were movies, too. And then I was like, I should have just gone with Eddard. So, no, Bruce Willis, the end of Armageddon, very famous, melodramatic, fun death scene.
It's fantastic. You have the whole build up to it where Ben Affleck thinks he's going to be the one.
Yes.
And then Bruce Willis is like, just like dismantles his breathing apparatus, shoves him
saves
back
his
in.
Life, yeah, for his daughter.
Oh man, it's an incredible scene. It's memorable, very very memorable.
All right,
and much better for the draft.
Yeah.
All right, Jason.
Yeah. All right, here's the thing. When you said you were taking two Game of Thrones, I was worried because I wanted the second best death in Game of Thrones. Then Andy went. In with
There's
another
so many,
Game of Thrones, which
we could have done a Game of Thrones
second best.
Death.
What I've learned today is that 100% Game of Thrones has all the best deaths.
Because
I am not
Game
going
of Thrones changed the rules of television.
It did. And it's everybody's fair game. Everybody can die at any time. And it was awesome because it made the intensity of every episode and scene. You know, you watch TV and it's like, oh, this person's in a really bad situation.
Like that's what
They're
I say
They're not
going to
die.
Who's going to come save him? I fully expect it to happen. And then,
so
when
by the way, before you pick your pick, Jason, Sean Bean has now come out and said he is rejecting roles that include him dying.
No,
oh,
that's
come
all
on,
he's good at.
Bean?
Because that's all he's ever done in movies. So go on, Jason.
Look, when you're right, really good at something, why?
I am not
I'm not playing basketball anymore. I'm too good at it.
It's so weird, though, because he didn't get to enjoy the next 6-7 years of Game of Thrones, like, publicity and fun because he was dead. So.
Yeah, that's. It's probably that one.
That bitterness.
One bitterness of he's like, this show's never going to work. Fine, I'll take this role.
I'll take the early out.
All right.
Go ahead, Jay.
So I am not going to draft this because this is not going to turn into a Game of Thrones draft.
Yes, thankfully.
But I am going to say what I wanted to draft prior to already Game of Thrones, which is the second best death in Game of Thrones. The shocking,
the fact they don't
literal
know it scares
eye-opening
me.
Death of Prince Oberyn.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, so know, that one...
Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, that would be the one that I would take. Okay.
All right.
You know, but
right.
you know, look, if
there's
a lot
like
of people out there haven't watched it, and you know, so I'm gonna go with more. I mean, this is talking about the most memorable death scenes, the most iconic. Like, what are the biggest, most memorable ones? So I'm gonna go old school here. I'm gonna go Andy Holloway and take a classic of all classics. I'm pretty sure this was the first movie ever made.
I like how I'm taking the bath here while Jason's making the pick.
Well, yeah, it's kind of, you know, we got to stick to our brand.
If you, this is like the third time somebody's gone Andy Holloway when Andy hasn't.
But this is like, when I think about iconic, most memorable, like it just came to mind right away because it's mocked, it's made fun of. It's
I know
classic.
What it is. I
it's the
it
Wicked
oh,
Witch
no.
of the West.
Oh, no. Yeah.
The Wicked Witch of the West has this whole death scene, which is melting.
No. That's great. That's my goodness, Jason. I thought you were going Citizen Kane.
Oh, get out of here with that garbage movie.
That movie sucks.
That movie is the freaking worst, and it's the number one movie of all time. You want to talk about overrated things? It's Citizen Kane. Was it an incredible feat that like three people put this together? Absolutely. Does that make the movie hold up over time? No. It's a piece of trash.
All right. I'm in. I'm in.
So Wicked Witch, iconic.
Yes.
The toes curl up, right?
The toes?
No.
I mean, no that
the
was...
The toes is the Wicked Witch of the East.
Thank
the
you,
The Wicked
Mike.
Witch of the West... is the one that melts when she gets
thank
water
you for,
upon
thank
it.
You for the yes, delineation. Right. Yeah,
the like, Wicked
if
Witch
if
of the West.
If you have Wizard of Oz questions, please direct them towards me.
All right. Now, since I went old, you know, I'm going to go something new. Something old, something new. I'm going to take the span of time, and it will all be mine. And this one even goes towards the future. I'm going, and this again, I know Mike has already said this, but this is a heavy spoiler of a somewhat recent movie.
Oh.
So I'll give you 3 seconds, 2 seconds,
well, what's
1 second. It is Avengers Endgame when Iron Man.
Oh, it's not even on my list.
It's because it's too recent. It's so recent that you don't think about
That's
it.
That's so but
at the,
good.
At the end of the entirety of this incredible so saga good. Of, oh, of you know, 30 movies, you have the guy that started the whole thing with Iron Man 1, the leader of the Avengers. The sacrifice, the finality of Iron Man, Tony Stark, he is gone.
Mike
from
is unhappy.
Us. So, yes, I will take William Wallace, the Wicked Witch, and Iron Man Avengers Endgame as my third pick.
And Mike's not recovered. I have Al Pacino, Scarface, Bruce Willis, and Armageddon. And
that's,
I'm actually coming back with
that,
Mike.
Look,
you okay?
That's poll winning. Like it's, we can stop the draft as far as the poll goes, but let's have the rest of the show
just for posterity's sake.
Yes.
A memorable scene can be how important it is. It can also mm-hmm. be the manner in which it takes place, based on the generation the movie is in. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to go with.
Hold on. What's the movie?
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yep, I knew it when you described it like that. I knew it.
And I'm taking the Nazi whose face melted off.
It's fascinating to me because
in Raiders of the Lost Ark, because that is just in your brain forever.
It absolutely is. And I mean, on my list was actually the other one because I think that the I'm stealing your limelight here because like I thought about this a lot before the draft of
the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders versus Last Crusade.
Sure,
and it's like. Last Crusade, man, it's the wrong cup. The guy comes in, he's like, he chose poorly.
Yeah, that so, death
but,
is.
But Raiders
that's
is
a
definitely
great
way up there. Raiders is when, definitely there.
Yeah, when he started talking about, you know, sometimes it's important, sometimes it's just memorable. I literally wrote down melting guy because I added it.
Yeah.
I added it to my list because I mean, there's not many more. If you just think about drawbacks or let's just say gifts online of of these moments, that one's up there.
And you have to imagine when it was made, filmed, like that was like some people worked pretty hard on that.
On that
like
claymation
to send that moment to your screen. So
I've watched like special behind the scenes stuff on it. It was really really intense.
All right, so I feel good about that pick.
I like it. All right, now this is the one that I was referring to at the beginning of the draft. My children, please stop listening to the podcast immediately. I had not read the books, so I didn't know what was about to happen. I have followed along because in these movies, I just watched the movies. They were coming out like one a year, one every other year.
Oh, this is a good pick.
I don't know it.
Did it's a better pick that, if you could pick the book, but
yeah, well, that's fine. Maybe. Did you know that? Did you guys know that Dumbledore freaking dies in the movies?
Oh gosh!
Holy
How
crap!
Was he not on my list? This is my Iron Man. He wasn't on my list.
That's a good
pick. I had 0.0 inclination that this was about to happen.
That's amazing.
In the movies, and with that moment was like. What have they done?
All three of your picks so far, when you said most memorable, they all fit the bill as being the identical memorable for you, which is shocking. Sit up from your seat. Yeah.
Let me tell a little story.
Please
here.
Do.
I love Harry Potter. I've read it a few times, but I started reading it when there were only three books out. So I got to participate in the book releases when you'd go and line up.
What movie was it? Or book, whatever. Books.
Sure. So the Prisoner of Azkaban.
The books are so much better.
Yes, they are, but I totally get it.
The moment in the books, like every person that read that in that book immediately.
It was like me when I saw the movie.
Bawling. Yeah. Just instant bawling.
The Prisoner of Azkaban was out when I started reading it, and then I stood in line. You know, that was part of the experience, right? Like the midnight, you know, 500-person line to get the next book.
I love that, man. I love the midnight release.
And so there's these huge lines that go. It was really cool. I was happy to be a part of it. It's pretty much the only thing I was really a part of like that as far as like the anticipation. Yeah, I mean, that's it. And so when that book came out and there was this super long line of people waiting, there was this YouTube video of a minivan that would go to these lines. And I don't know how they got their book early. And they would literally yell out the window, Dumbledore dies! Worst. And then they'd peel out with all the smoke in their minivan like
Come
that Southwest
on.
Commercial.
Why?
And they just kept doing that. Now, hopefully, in fairness, if somebody did that, I would assume it's a joke, but then it sucks because it's in your mind the whole time. No. That's a great pick, Mike. And I'm sad it wasn't on my list.
I've got really terrible news for you.
Oh, no.
I've got really terrible news. News that will break your heart.
Oh, no!
Oh, no, I know what's
coming.
No!
My 11-year-old is sitting in on the show.
What about the warnings?
Need I say more?
Oh, where's the fathering?
Come on!
Where's
Come on! You telling me I just did that? I can't...
No, that's... That has to be on Andy at this point.
I choose not to believe this. I was told
I got
you guys
a text on
fans.
My screen from him across the room with the word... No,
it's
just a joke.
No responsibility for what has happened. I was under the impression that you guys were like massive fans. You've been to Harry Potter.
I'll be honest. The reason I didn't bring it up is I thought that he had seen all the movies. Have you not seen all the movies?
Oh, this. I apologize. Man.
He has not seen them all.
Sorry.
We ruined his life.
Well, there you go.
Wow. All right,
Mike, you get to pick one more.
There's still
the death of my son's innocence can be your fourth pick.
I will say this. There's still some there is still, you know, you're listening. There is still incredible excitement.
Oh, yeah. Don't
to
spoil
what you
anything
think you
else
know.
About it then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I feel so terrible right now. Okay. Well, moving on with the draft.
What's your next horrific pick, Mike?
All right.
What books are you going to be reading soon, son?
Have you read Where the Red Fern Grows?
Yes, I have.
He already read that one. We can go with that if you need it.
Oh, that's actually not a bad pick.
That thing destroyed me.
No, I'm down to two picks. One, they're both very memorable. One of them is more devastating. I'm gonna go with it. I'm pretty sure that you guys don't know of this one, but I got to pay homage to the person we were tweeted this idea, and they said immediately, someone said immediately, the 101 is this pick because, look, Futurama, the episode with Seymour the dog is, I told you, you guys don't know this, so you don't, your hearts are not breaking into 1,000 pieces like they would if you knew this episode. It is absolutely one of the top three saddest things on television if you are invested in the series. So I'm taking this pick. I knew it would be safe until my last pick, but Futurama, when Fry's dog passes away, it's the gotcha. I have to stop talking about it or I'm going
to
start
it.
Crying.
I can see it in your face. You're having trouble reliving this moment.
Well, you mentioning that as that special, no, I've never seen almost any of that show, so I have no connection there. And it shocks me that a show called Futurama could have a moment like that. So that is interesting to me.
Yes.
That's like saying that scene from Simpsons. And I'm like, what scene from Simpsons?
That a cartoon that's like a funny cartoon, they sneak in and then they punch you right in the heart over 1,000 times.
That defines my final pick, which will be very similar to yours in the fact that if you didn't experience the series, you will not enjoy it. You will not relate to it. This is the only death scene. You talk about the shock of the Red Wedding, Ned Stark.
Right.
Those are big moments. I remember watching this show. Spoiler alert for those currently going through the series, Dexter. I was watching Dexter season 3, and I'm laying on the couch watching this show, and when the surprise death of Dexter's girlfriend Rita happens in season 3, I went from a horizontal position to a gaping mouth, sitting up, bawling my eyes out. Shocking death scene. So if you've seen Dexter,
it's a very wild scene. It was as insane as any of these. Oh man, so I got the last pick and I'm surprised.
We've all gone sad.
Yeah.
I came in a little unprepared right before the show, and I have a list of, like, I'm trying to decide between these great options. So I'll start with
I have such a list too.
Man, there's so many good ones. So one of them that I'm not taking was Hitler from Inglourious B when they redo the timeline and just destroy him, which, if you haven't seen it, is great. But Andy got the melting guy.
I really like it, the movie, because we know that kids go to Inglourious B.
Yeah. I'm not going to take this because we had this in our saddest draft, but I think it was in the saddest draft. Was this Macaulay Culkin and My Girl?
I believe that was taken.
With the bees? Yeah. Oh, that was sad. Man, that's
Jason,
off the
you have
list.
A theme going. Keep the bees coming.
So I'm down to three, and this is interesting.
down to three?
I thought, Mike, when you said you saw this on Twitter and it was the 101, you were going to take this. I'm not going to take this, but it's totally on your brand. Hans Gruber falling from the building top.
100%. I was down between Futurama and Hans Gruber. Yes.
So 100%. Now I am down to two. And I'm going cartoon or...
Oh, I thought he picked that. I thought he picked that one.
No. I'm saying... I'm telling a story leading where I'm going. All right. I think this is too old. I've already got The Wicked Witch. So my last not taking... I am not taking Bambi's Mother. That is a classic.
Okay. But you are trying to get some partial credit by mentioning these.
Yes.
We always say the things at the end of the show.
We don't walk through five options.
But I am going to land with... And this is weird because it wasn't necessarily the death scene that was memorable, but this is one of the biggest moments.
Which would make it a bad pick.
This was one of the most memorable deaths in all of cinema when it came out. It changed the way movies had hooks at the end. But Bruce Willis in The Sixth Sense.
Ooh, But his death scene is not even in the movie.
Well, no,
He's trying to claim the whole movie, Sixth Sense.
I mean, basically I am, because the death scene is in the beginning, but you don't find out until the end, and it's that hook of like, oh my gosh, he's dead.
Can I ask Al, have you seen Sixth Sense?
I have.
Does that count as a death scene, the movie, Sixth Sense?
I mean, I'll allow it, but I wouldn't draft it.
Oh, it's great. It's a great pick. Good job, Jason.
So are we finally down to your pick now, Jason?
Yes, that's my pick. We're done.
Oh, you're taking
the draft is over. Yes, that's what I took. That is what I took. I think the shocking omission
is the Titanic scene that was not mentioned by any of us.
Jack is on my list.
Because it's stupid. There was plenty of room. Climb aboard. That is a problem.
I almost had Sean Bean from Fellowship. Because I love... when a death scene happens with like a character that's got like a mixed, he was Boromir in that movie, and he gives himself up at the end so that everybody survives. Sure. That's yeah, and he dies in every movie. Self sacrifice.
On my list, I had a T2, Terminator.
Yeah.
2.
Oh yeah, sure. Is that the
little we all remember yeah, the thumbs up like yeah. That's and then like the shocking ones I have, you know, not as a big of a movie, but Sam Jackson in Deep Blue Sea. That's like it's absolutely out of nowhere. On that same vein, the bus girl, I don't even know her name, from Final Destination. If you saw Final Destination in the theaters, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And then the last one, The Departed, spoiler from The Departed, but Leonardo DiCaprio at the very end of the movie, man, you do not see that coming.
That's we drafted a spoiler draft. That's what we did.
Yes.
Well,
top
because
spoilers.
It's death, you can't. It's not the best lives in movies and TV.
You know who made it through the movie?
Psycho. Lead. Psycho's a good one for sure.
Yeah, and very then, classic. Sure.
Okay. Like the Hans Gruber death. By the way, he hasn't. What's Alan Rickman, right?
Yes.
That's yeah. Hans Gruber. He has a death, a great death in Robin Hood that I was remembering.
Oh, as the sheriff?
As the sheriff of Nottingham. So that one was in consideration. We had the Jurassic Park lawyer that popped into my head. The
oh,
dinosaur
my goodness.
Eating him.
That's
that
such
one
a
was
good
on
one.
My list. Yeah. So there are quite. Oh, but like the Hans Gruber one is the Batman, the Batman original with Michael Keaton. Do you remember when Joker gets thrown off the top of the building?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you've got that laughter at the bottom. Yeah. All right. Let's figure out what else we learned today.
What did we learn today?
Oh, I know what I learned today. I learned I will be forever apologizing to Andy's son.
Because oh,
I'm
gosh.
A terrible person.
The best part is apparently he took his headphones off for this section and he put them back on because he thought we were done talking.
Oh, how funny. But, I learned that our wives are perfect for us.
Yeah.
And we should stay how we are.
And I learned that I would be a kangaroo in the wild. And I'm just fine with it. I'm feeling pretty good. So
I'm pretty envious.
Yeah, that is it for the Spitballers podcast. Thank you for tuning in, supporting, subscribing, reviewing, and adoring the show. We appreciate you, and we'll be back next week.
Indeed. We'll see you next time. Stay safe. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.